Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Francis Lamb, and this is Splendid Table Selects, our mini podcast about the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. How's this sound? Falafel-ish salad with crispy spiced chickpeas, greens, and lemony tahini dressing. Or how about this? A crisp, chewy pancake with vegetables fresh from the market or from the back of your fridge. We turn to Hetty McKinnon for great ideas and recipes like these. She's a Chinese-Australian cook with friends from all around the world who've shared their home recipes with her. As a cookbook author who used to have a salad company, she knows just how to work with them to make fresh, delicious, vegetable-based food. Hetty's new book is called Family, New Vegetarian Comfort Food to Nourish Every Day. And our contributor, Melissa Clark, talked with her about her smart, quick ways to use all that fresh produce in our everyday cooking routines. Have a listen.
Hetty, what made you call your book Family? It's really an unusual name for a cookbook.
For me, a cookbook starts with a story. So it's the ethos of what the book's going to be talking about. And this book was always going to be about vegetarian comfort food. Mm-hmm. And it's the type of food that I cook for my family. So I've written two salad cookbooks prior to this. So this one was still taking my love of vegetables, but putting it within a framework that my children would eat.
Right.
And so they were kind of my inspiration. So they taste tested and every single recipe in the book. I started with the word family, and I kind of let myself roll out that story.
And what I love about the book, one of the things I love about the book, is you have so many different families profiled. Mm-hmm. How did you choose the different families?
So those people were my friends, and I kind of said to them, hey, tell me like a story about a particular food that, you know, a particular dish that you remember growing up and why it's important to you, why it's important to your family. And those stories really came from them. I don't like to give too much direction when mm-hmm. I ask for those stories. I allow them to come up with the story and the feelings themselves.
And was it fun to feed your family other families' dishes? Like, how did your kids react?
Oh, so the chana masala from Chitra Agrawal is one of the favorites in our house. It's something we have on our repertoire, our weekly repertoire. The Korean pajeons, the Korean pancakes from Erin Yang. I've never made those before, but they're so simple. And, you know, there's something really special about incorporating someone else's recipe into your own family repertoire. And I think that's the way family meals really evolve, is when you kind of hear from a friend a particular way of making this, and then you kind of put your own spin on it. And I love the idea of recipes evolving all the time.
You just mentioned the Korean pancake, the pajeon. Can you talk about that? Because I feel like that's the perfect thing to do with all these summer vegetables that we have right now, because
absolutely.
It's so adaptable. Can you just walk us through that recipe?
Yeah, so basically it's, Erin actually says to use whatever you have in the fridge. So leftovers, little bits of carrots or peppers that you might have, and you can just shred those up. And she has this, Erin's an artist, so she makes it really beautiful by separating all the vegetables, and she makes like a batter that's got, you know, just all-purpose, like plain flour with some Korean paste.
The Korean chili paste?
The samjang, which is more the savory umami paste, but only a very tiny amount. And that you kind of put in a fry pan, and then she lays each vegetable on at a time. But I have to say, when I make it in my house, I tend to mix all the vegetables together.
Just throw it in a pan.
I'm less artistic than Erin. But it's a really lovely, and it's served with like a soy sauce. It's a little bit like an okonomiyaki, like a Korean version. It's really lovely and easy. And as you say, really perfect for summer vegetables.
And for kids too, who love to tear apart pancakes and dip them in the dipping sauce.
Absolutely.
Right?
And you know, like with fit kids, as you would know, they all have their quirks. So
right.
Some might like broccoli. You know, two of my children can't stand peppers. One of them loves it. You know, so everyone loves broccoli. It's like the peacemaker of the
right.
the vegetable world. So the Padgeons are really great for that type of thing, for customizing and tailoring to individual tastes.
You know, you write in the book that you culturally are a very different kind of mother mm-hmm. from your mom.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that in terms of cooking and eating together as a family?
Yeah. So my mom is probably my greatest influence in everything. As I get older, I realize, you know, when you're younger, you want to kind of reject everything your mother tells you,
yes.
as my children are doing to me now. But for me now, as an older person, I come to realize that those lessons that my mum taught me, not particularly verbally, but kind of in action, you know, things that she did for us, are the greatest influence in kind of shaping the type of person I am and the type of mother I am. But culturally, we grew up in different worlds. You know, she grew up in China, came to Australia in her early 20s, and was then kind of trying to find her feet, you know, in a new world, a new language. She never, to this day, doesn't really speak much English. But I was born in Sydney, and I had this very different kind of third culture world, as I now describe it, is a very different culture to her, and going to Australian schools and, you know, being Australian when I was at school, but really growing up as a Chinese person at home. We spoke Cantonese, we ate Chinese food every day. And my mum, being an immigrant, she didn't have a profession, so domestic duties was her thing. And she did it with aplomb. Like, she was so committed to delivering this incredible food on our table, you know, twice a day, because during the day we'd be at school. And at dinner, it was every night, it was, a rice with five or six different dishes in the middle of the table. And, you know, these ingredients that she had gathered by taking, you know, trains and buses to different neighborhoods to get this type of tofu that she wanted. And there was so much commitment to that. And before I started cooking, I didn't kind of realize what it feels like to cook and nurture people through food. You know, sometimes, you know, it's just sustenance.
Yeah.
But when I really got committed to it, and my kids were growing up, and that dinner time was so sacred to us growing up. It was the great anchor in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, we ate very early in the day. You know, the sun wasn't even down yet, because my dad worked at the markets. He got up 3 a.m. every morning. And, you know, 5 p.m. there would be like this clatter, and there'd be yelling and screaming. The exhaust fan would go off, and we would all gather around the table. And that was like just this so much stability in my life as a child from that one dinner time. And we all ate very fast. It could be over in 5 or 10 minutes, but, you know, that 5 or 10 minutes is that stability that I think every child looks for.
Yeah.
So now with my family, since we moved to the US, the dinner table, which is actually the same table we had in Sydney, we actually shipped it over.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. And it is like such an anchor for my family too. It's when we all sit down together, we talk, the kids talk about school, their friends, what's happening, how they're feeling. And it's not like a therapy session. It's just, you know, it's an equalizer. The table's like the equalizer, and we talk about food a lot.
You know, one of the things that you write about in the book also, you know, I'm sure this is very different for you than it was for your mom. Mm. Just the feeling of weeknight, the pressure of the weeknight.
Oh, yeah.
And you write about weeknight cheats, you know, how to feed your family quickly.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that I really loved was these cheat dressings.
Yes. I mean, salads is a big thing in our house. I started off making salads. That's how I kind of landed in food, was I had a salad business.
Yeah.
So salads to me are still what I want to eat every night. And if I can't think of what I'm going to make, because I don't want to feed my kids pasta every night. It's
right.
kind of a like once a week thing. Salads are still, you know, the way that I, you know, put a quick dinner on the table. So there's a couple of things, and I actually did one last night. It was like just a tahini dressing, which you just add, you know, a bit of water, some garlic, some citrus.
Uh-huh.
Last night I got fancy and like chopped up a whole bunch of herbs, like
oh,
whatever
nice.
Herbs
yep.
I had in my fridge. And so that's your quick tahini dressing. So I serve that with a whole range of things. Chickpeas, a lot of legumes in our house, because I only serve through the book. I'm only cooking vegetarian at home now for the last couple of years. That's been a new thing. So, but you can do lots of roasted vegetables and, you know, potatoes, which there's been a potato renaissance in our house. So, you know, tahini kind of goes with everything. And then my other quick one is just really an oil-based herb dressing. So whatever herbs you have, everyone has these little half-used bunches of herbs in their fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so you can just chop that up. You don't even have to get out a mortar and pestle. I used to, but now I just chop that up on a chopping board really, really fine with a little small clove of garlic, and just add, you know, some olive, like good quality olive oil, salt and pepper, and some, you know, citrus if you like. And that's your salad dressing you can use for absolutely everything. So
just having those two things in the fridge at all times, and then you
absolutely.
Can kind of like mix and match to the vegetables.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, sweet potato, roasted broccoli, like the brassicas feature very highly in our house. Cauliflower, right. You know, Brussels sprouts. My kids like Brussels sprouts.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because those are love them or hate them vegetables, I
think.
Yes. You know, you were just talking about grains and beans and the tahini dressing. So there's this other recipe that I'm dying to try, the deconstructed falafel salad. So it sounds like you use a tahini dressing for that.
Yes. So that's a lemon tahini. I just add some lemon to it. So, but this is probably the most popular recipe in the book, I would say. It is so Moorish. It's like falafels, but without any of the effort or the deep frying. You do get these crispy chickpeas are quite incredible. I just use canned chickpeas because I'm not organized enough to soak my
right.
chickpeas. But if you are organized enough, by all means, use fresh chickpeas. But canned legumes, I think, are fine for weeknight cooking.
Right.
I think we're all trying to make recipes as approachable as possible. And if you think you have to start it 2 days prior, it's a little daunting.
Right.
So canned chickpeas, I just, drain them and just kind of cover them in a good amount of olive oil with some spices, some cumin, some ground coriander, some paprika, if you like, and a clove of garlic. And then you just roast them on a really high heat, about 400. And you roast them for like 20, 25 minutes until they get really brown and crispy. They almost taste like chips. They're so delicious. And then that's mixed with some fresh ingredients, like some freshly shaved cucumber, some kale that's been just sautéed, so it's a little bit wilted. But you could massage the kale if you didn't want to cook it. I mean, it's summer, so we want to do minimal cooking.
Right, or just like greens, like beautiful greens, all the hearty arugulas.
That's right. I mean, I always think that's a great idea. I think, you know, just adapt it to whatever season you're in.
Right.
And then just the lemon tahini. You can add pita chips if you like to. Store-bought pita chips are fine. You know, kids love, particularly, you know, that crunch. So most of my salads are all about the texture. It's about layering on the different textures and really finding different ways of using everyday things.
Right, and that's what I love about this whole combination of the chickpeas, because I roast chickpeas all the time, but I would never think to put them in this kind of salad. So that's just, I loved that. Okay, so you've been a vegetarian for 20 years, is that right?
Longer now.
Wow.
25.
Do you have any general tips for helping cooks add more vegetables to their just daily meals, their weeknight meals?
At this time of the year, I always have a bag of greens that I get from the market that I can add to things. So for lunch, I just have a plate of greens with, you know, avocado or some chickpeas and just olive oil sometimes,
if I'm
being really lazy.
Or one of your cheat dressings.
Yeah, or one of the cheat dressings, which I always have leftover dressing in my fridge too. So that's the other thing, is make more than you need, because like tahini dressings keep for, you know, 5-7 days in the fridge. So you can just get that back out and whip it up with a little bit more water if it's become too thick. But the other thing about vegetables is, you know, like particularly in the summer, when you go to the market, there is so much there. And I get a little overwhelmed. Like I get a little bit excited. And
do you buy too much stuff? I buy too much stuff.
I always buy too much stuff. Always. So in the last couple of years, I've tried to kind of narrow it down. So I go and I see something I like and I'll buy more of the one thing. Lately, I've been buying sugar snap peas, so I'll buy a good bag of that and I'll use it in a couple of different ways. So sugar snaps, for example, you can eat them raw, shave them thinly, can pan fry them. And it's really just such an easy vegetable to have in the fridge. Often on the weekends, I'll buy, say, like two cauliflowers and have them chopped up already. Because the thing about vegetarian food is it does take more preparation. Like it's much more work than just, say, a piece. Having a piece of steak and throwing that, you know, on the barbecue or in your in your fry pan. So you've got to chop. There is more chopping involved. But I think there's really kind of basic ways you can look at vegetables. Like you can take a vegetable like a cauliflower or a broccoli, have them, the florets already cut up in the fridge, and then you can just, I often pan fry. I think turning on the oven is a big commitment at most times of the year. In the winter, I don't mind it because it warms my house, but in the summer, it's not something that I'm ever looking forward to. So you can put that on your grill, or I just pan fry it, and it takes like 5 minutes. And then you can just, you know, do it with like some legumes. Legumes are wonderful to have in the pantry. Like I always try and have a lot of different legumes. I often also make grains in bulk and put that in my freezer and just...
In the freezer. So you freeze grains like...
I freeze quinoa and farro.
Wow. Okay, that's a good tip for people. So you can freeze that and then you just throw it into a, like a saute pan or...
Yeah, exactly. Just to defrost it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to ask me to talk about vegetables, I can do so for a very long time because they're so exciting to me. I just think it's about trying them in different ways.
Hedy, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you. Thanks, Melissa.
That was food writer Hedy McKinnon with our contributor, Melissa Clark. Hedy's latest cookbook is Family: New Vegetarian Comfort Food to Nourish Every Day. She shared three recipes from the book. Head to splendidtable.org to find her deconstructed falafel salad, vegetable padjon, and chana masala. And we have some pretty cool news to share. We're making a new podcast featuring our dear friend, cookbook author, and New York Times food writer, Melissa Clark, who you just heard. It's called Weeknight Kitchen with Melissa Clark. It's a practical guide for everyday cooking and eating. Have a listen to the trailer.
Hey, it's Melissa Clark. I'm a food writer for the New York Times, which means my job is to think and write about food all of the time. But I'm going to confess, sometimes when I'm done working,
what is in the fridge?
I got nothing. No ideas, no gourmet feast, just an empty fridge and a mostly empty stomach. Because weeknights, let's just admit it, weeknights are hard, we're tired, but we still need something solid, yet really tasty, to get us through. And that's the idea behind my new podcast, Weeknight Kitchen. Every week, you're going to join me in my kitchen, and we're going to work our way through one really simple and delicious recipe to get great food on your table on a weeknight. And since this is pretty much the appetizer to the full show, I'm going to start right now with a recipe that's going to make your summer. It's tomato season, and in my family, myself, my husband, my daughter, we eat some version of tomato salad every night because we can. And this recipe takes tomato salad, it takes it beyond the typical mozzarella, basil, tomato. And it's so easy. Okay, this is what you do. You mix up a dressing, a really simple combination of lime juice, brown sugar, scallions if you've got them, and you take a big clove of garlic, mince it up, some hot chili like a jalapeno, and then you add the magic ingredient. And stay with me on this one, fish sauce. Now, it's not fishy. Fish sauce is just umami. It's deep, it's rich. And you sprinkle a little bit of that into your dressing and it transforms the whole thing. Whisk it together, drizzle it on your sliced tomatoes, top it with some herbs, and then let it sit for a little bit. You know, mix it up right before dinner and then eat it at the end of the meal so it's had time to marinate and all those flavors really get into those sweet tomatoes. This is going to make even your so-so, not-so-great tomatoes taste amazing. Try it. It's pretty great. And you can find that recipe right now at splendidtable.org. The whole show, Weeknight Kitchen, launches on September 4th. And every week, you'll be able to get the recipe, details on ingredients and equipment, and more. And you can subscribe at splendidtable.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's our new podcast, Weeknight Kitchen with Melissa Clark. And it's coming to your favorite podcast app on September 4th. That's what we have for today. Thank you for listening. You'll find us back on your podcast queue this Friday with a full episode celebrating the life of bees. Until then, don't forget to eat well and tip well. I'm Francis Lam. All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.